Good evening, everybody. That's in the UK, because it's 8 p.m. here. And good afternoon to everyone on the other side of the pond. Just had to get this in at the start of the show, because it's 8 p.m. in the UK. And 8 p.m. every Thursday in the UK, we have a clap for carers. And the terrible news is that it's the last time ever for clap for carers. Now, anyone with a functioning brain cell who hasn't heard of this, I'll just fill you in as to what it actually is. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. in the UK, the public go out onto their doorsteps, because that's as far as they're allowed to go, and they clap for the people who are working in the NHS and the carers, and they bang their pots and pans. But today we have found out that this is going to be the last ever clap for carers. Does this mean that Britain is going to get back to the old normal? I'm afraid not, because we have news just in from Boris Johnson and Matt Hancock, and they're telling us all about how we're going to be tracked and traced. Well, this afternoon, I'm going to get into all that and more. I have a special guest from the UK, Sandy Adams, and first of all, a few things to get through. We have to remember also that the result of event 201 in October 2019 was that it stated, this was of course run by the John Hopkins Center for Health and Security, the World Economic Forum, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This was a sort of rehearsal for a pandemic rollout, which has now obviously happened. It said there are major unmet global vulnerability challenges posed by pandemics that will require new, robust forms of public-private cooperation to address. Well, the beneficial crisis has brought all this and more, hasn't it? But let me just inform you as to what Boris Johnson has been telling the British public today. Retail and car showrooms can open from Monday, and up to six people of all ages will be able to meet outside as long as those from different households remain 2 metres apart. Does this make any sense to you? Well, of course not, but none of it has so far, so why should this? These changes mean that friends and family can start to meet their loved ones, perhaps seeing both parents at once, or both grandparents at once, Mr. Johnson said. However, he said, people should not be making overnight stays in other households. The Prime Minister suggested that barbecues are allowed as long as everyone stays socially distanced and washes their hands and uses common sense. Now, I think there's a kind of cognitive dissonance, an oxymoron type situation going on here, because never so far has there been any common sense about any of this from the government. There has been a lot of creepiness, a lot of lies and a lot of contradictions, but no common sense. First of all, though, I'd like to inform you of a sign that was spotted in a North London park with a picture of a dog on it. And it states, it addresses the dog, not the owner. It says, dogs, your owner is allowed out once a day to take you for a walk on a lead. If you are not on a lead, your owner could be fined £1,000. Now, the level of psychological manipulation in the COVID-19 project is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this before, I don't think, in human history. Well, certainly not as long as I've been on the planet. And according to my research, I've never seen anything like this previously either. It said, but someone had quite correctly written on the sign. They'd said, not true. See the Controls of Dogs Act 2013 and go to www.gov.uk. Councils cannot make law. Well, this is an interesting point, isn't it? Because all is we're seeing is people acting beyond authority and government guidelines being interpreted as law by the police. Now, it was interesting actually today, because I found out from a friend of mine that some people about a week ago went down to a beach. Now, of course, in the last 7 days, we're now allowed to go to beaches, or there's been too many people going to beaches in the UK for the police to actually control. I found this the other day, and I reported it on our show on Tuesday, that there was hundreds of people on a very small area of beach in Kent, which is usually pretty quiet. So I think that public opinion has actually kicked in, and they're now saying that, OK, yeah, well, we might give up then. However, The question is really the role of the change agent in society. That's what we're talking about here. The big communitarian communistic action plan, which is what this is all about. But the useful idiot, Matt Hancock, who's the health secretary in the UK, is this sort of starry-eyed drone who kind of does lots of things with great authority and aptitude at the same time. He's stating how the vast majority of people will go along with being dictated to by the new Stasi army of the new citizen spy. Yes, the citizen spy army of, you wait for it, contact tracers. Well, it's all for the common good to be put under house arrest, you know, because they have been in contact with someone who is showing signs of a cold. Now, this is how absurd it is. Because they are people who are on the other end of a phone to tell you that you may have symptoms because your phone has been near somebody else's phone. And that person may have the symptoms, because we've got to remember that there's no proper analysis or diagnosis of COVID-19. It hasn't even been isolated. So what they're saying is, if you're showing signs of a coronavirus, i.e. a cold, then the government are going to tell you that you cannot leave your house for 2 weeks. Now, Matt Hancock is actually saying that I think the majority of the public will go along for this. It's for the common good. And of course, the thing is that if we all obey this, then we can all go out and we can all get back to normal. Well, no, we can't, because it's the new normal. But he's also inferring that we will be able to be not only policed by our neighbours, but that if this does not get adhered to as much as he wants to see it, then it could possibly mean that we will be forcefully quarantined. He's actually saying this. But now 2,000 people who tested positive for the beneficial crisis mind virus, he said these will be used to track and trace potentially thousands more, all under the price of being able to go out and open up the country again. Now, this has never happened before with seasonal, never happened with any of the other pandemics. But we are in a different situation here. This is a beneficial crisis, the likes of which we've never seen. Now, of course, previous strains have been more deadly than the current strain. So this is all very alarming. And we are 2 months into this, and it is getting creepier and more contradictory all the time. Well, the COVID-19 project is testing compliance on many levels. The project is actually layers deep and is the reorientating of all public participation into full-on communistic communitarianism. So the latest recruitment drive for contact tracers is, as we've just said, as contradictory and nonsensical as everything else in this global management project. With a few hours training, you could become a medical expert, yes. And as from today, you could be part of the UK Stasi spy network and, of course, be a self-proclaimed medical expert. The contract for the contact tracing app aims to log when people come into contact with others who are, wait for it, suspected of being infected with COVID-19 using Bluetooth signals. So we're all turning our Bluetooth off and disabling as much as we can on our smartphones. And many people are thinking of going back to our old Nokia phones, you know, the ones we used to have in the early 2000s. Health Secretary Matt Hancock said, the more people who sign up for this new app when it goes live, the better. The better informed our response will be, and the better we can, therefore, protect the NHS. It's all for the common good, you see. A statement as meaningless as every other one coming from the UK department in the COVID clown show. This is getting ridiculous. So this is not only going to be ineffective, it has to be downloaded too. The idea here really is nothing to do with tracking any infection. It is to bring in compulsory tracking of smartphones. The uptake and effectiveness will be called into question. And the next phase will normalise tracking through mobile phones. That's what this is all about, getting you used to having someone on the end of a phone who who's intercepted your phone and telling you what to do. Now, anyone who has come into contact with someone who tests positive for the virus is assessed by a contact tracer and then designated as a high or low risk. If they are a low risk person, they do not require self-isolation. However, for high-risk individuals, they are advised to self-isolate and may be contacted daily by contact tracers who may, well, that means must, provide advice on what to do if they become unwell. Well, bearing in mind that even if this was happening, then the deaths have actually dwindled into practically nothing apart from the fake statistics that the government are putting out, which are totally inaccurate. The idea that these call centre hive workers are going to advise is interesting, as the only advice given by the government is just wait until it goes. That's been the advice from day one. Don't go to hospital unless you have to and stay indoors. So why are they getting contact tracer to tell people exactly the same thing as the government's already telling them? Well, it's all about the big interdependence game, the giving away of all thought and self-reliance to the state monitors and the useful idiots. So this is the ideal way to put anyone under house arrest. Now, in reality, this is the equivalent of having a prisoner's tag monitored by G4S. This is the same idea, and the same amount of monitoring and house arrest is going on. Because with this G4S tagging of prisoners, it's an absolute nightmare. I know somebody who worked in the tagging department, and people were routinely having these things going off. And that would mean they left the house, which meant that they could be taken to a prison. So the switchboard was basically jammed full of people telling everyone that it's gone wrong, I'm still at home. And this was a huge problem. And G4S, of course, was one of the most unsuccessful companies when it came to security during the Olympics. They were roundly criticized and taken to task for their inadequate looking after of the Olympic security situation in 2012. But the incompetence of all of this is a huge gift to those who are fed up with it. That's us, really. So in other words, the ineptitude of what's going on could be a huge benefit for the people who are already fed up with this. A team of 25,000 contact tracers, though, are now ready to make their first phone calls within hours to track down people who could spread the virus. That's today, folks. Thursday in the UK is contact tracer day. Tracers will text, email, or call people who test positive with coronavirus and ask who they have had contact with. So basically what this app does, if you download it, it will put other people who you've been in touch with on the radar. In other words, your contacts in your address book on your phone will go to the authorities. And if they deem fit, they will contact you. So basically, it says when rolled out nationally, this app will supplement the other forms of contact tracing. Oh, wait a minute. Other forms of contact tracing, they didn't say anything about that. So if someone in your address book downloads the app, the assumption is that if they come up with a diagnosis for a virus, which they have not been able to isolate, just a bunch of symptoms, then you are under house arrest and may not be allowed out until they say so. Health Secretary Matt Hancock previously discussed recruiting 18,000 contact tracers, but the government have said the scheme is still evolving. So today's the big day. Public health regional directors have input their feedback, it says here, on how the contact tracing army should look. Of these 18,000 persons, the government has proposed 15,000 will be call handlers. So basically, you're going to get contacted by a call centre and be told what to do, with only 3,000 as trained public health staff. Now, this says including environmental health officers and most likely sexual health staff with experience of contact tracing and knowledge of their communities. But basically, what they're saying here is most of these could be just NHS workers, which could be cleaners. The health secretary announced these 25,000 contact tracers have already been hired. 25,000 useful idiot starsies who want to have a bit of authority and like spying on people have already been recruited. Because they're on the minimum wage, folks, they're on £9.42 an hour. And of course, most of the self-employed people have now been out of work for 2 months. So yes, they are appealing to these people to enforce the common good. So he said, yeah, a third of them came from healthcare backgrounds. And Matt Hancock said he is perfectly prepared to hire more if needed. So according to the UK government, when you go back to work and someone in the workplace is diagnosed, then you will not have to self-isolate if you come into contact with them. Now, this is really weird, right? So the government are telling you that when you go back to work, and if someone's diagnosed with COVID-19, then you don't have to self-isolate. But if someone's been near your phone, basically, then they have to lock themselves in their house for 14 days if someone on the end of a phone tells them to. Can you see the contradiction here? But basically, this clearly shows that the idea of contact tracing is just an ongoing surveillance implementation on the back of the mind virus. It's easy to see that this is an exercise in getting compliance through guilt-tripping the public and demonising those who won't get involved as dangerous and irresponsible. That's what this Matt Hancock is already saying. In other words, you're dangerous and irresponsible if you don't join in with the big communitarian spy Stasi programme. So yes, it's a psychological steering exercise in effect, and it's a compliance test. That's what the whole of this has been about from day one, compliance testing. But we then get on to a useful idiot of the state, yes, BBC reporter Rory Ketland-Jones signed up for the Open Infiltration and Spy Programme to be a contact tracer. The useful idiot even received a course certificate from Johns Hopkins University. It is also rolled out by Public Health England, who absolutely detest natural remedies and, of course, the non-vaccinated. Well, he says, this Rory Ketland-Jones, who went on this course, he said, it took me an intense 8 hours to complete, and I emerged with enormous respect for the discipline. As the lecturer put it on the very last page, contact tracing is a complex activity. Wait a minute, how can it be a complex activity? It's just someone who's been near your phone. A contact tracing is a complex activity which requires attention to detail and problem-solving skills. Yeah, you bet it does. What became clear, he said, is that although technology such as the Bluetooth apps being tested around the world can help, human skills are vitals. So he said, human skills are vital. The final section, he said, which took me 2 hours to complete, is all about how you talk effectively to the people you are trying to help by putting them under house arrest, basically. This is the ultimate in communistic public participation enforcement, folks. He said, so what did I learn? I know much more about the signs and symptoms of the disease. For example, that a loss of taste and smell is reported by around a third of all patients. Well, wait a minute. This is the only distinguishing symptom of COVID-19 from day one, as stated on all media, including him. So what is he talking about? Well, they do put something in the water at the BBC, but I didn't think it caused Alzheimer's. This is incredible, right? He says, I have learned that of all the places where the disease can spread most easily, care homes where the vulnerable people are in close contact are right at the top of the list. Well, of course they are. The care homes were infected by having people who had COVID-19 pushed into the care homes and infecting the elderly patients, which was killing them. That was the whole point. Absolutely incredible, this. I think we've got a caller after the break. I think it's Charles. I think we're nearly running out of time for the first part of the show, but I just want to finish this off. He says, I have learned that of all the places where the disease can spread most easily, care homes where most vulnerable people are in close contact, right at the top of the list. Incredible. Incredible. We'll be back after the break. This is Windows on the World. Do call us if you want. Call in on the RBN number. I'll be back with Sandy Adams and hopefully our first caller after the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus? For a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. I'm Mark Windows, coming to you from the UK. Special guest Sandy Adams here as well. Just want to finish this off all about the contact tracing that is now being implemented by the UK government. And of course, this has been rolled out by Public Health England and, curiously, the Johns Hopkins University. They're running courses on how to become a Stasi spy of the state and track people through their smartphones through Bluetooth. It says here the Johns Hopkins courses outline the ethical challenges involved in contact tracing. Oh, that's all right then. I thought for a minute they were using the same template as the people victims. Well, actually, yes, they are. So wait a minute. They use this to track people with something as serious as Ebola, and now it's just for what could be a common cold or symptoms which are completely uninteresting. Yes, it says there have been reports that the training process for new contact tracers in the UK is pretty sketchy. A few PowerPoint slides and some scripts for callers to follow. Well, basically what you've got here is people who are just working out of a call centre. And then you've got these health professionals that might be knocking on your door. Isabel Oliver, who is overseeing the contact tracing program for Public Health England, told me she was not familiar with the Johns Hopkins course, but was happy with how recruits were being trained. I'm still referring to this article I was referring to before the break with Rory Kethlin-Jones, who works for the BBC, the state Stasi of the UK. It says our training is based on the requirements for our own programmes, he says. So basically we've got Johns Hopkins University running a parallel programme, but the Public Health England people who are rolling out the programme don't even know about it. This is typical of how this whole thing is being rolled out. It's sloppy, it doesn't make any sense, and for those two reasons, it means that it has very little credibility. Well, we've been looking at that for the past 2 months under lockdown. And having looked into all angles of it, I think we now know what this is all about. He says, we're very confident that we've got a good and robust system in place. It's been tried and tested. Well, I thought it was just being tried and tested today. So what we have in effect is the hurtling into the end game, really, this is my aside, of the Agenda 21 policies, Agenda 2030, supported by the whole financial system and embedded into every part of global governance. And now I'm going to bring in our caller, Charles. Is Charles still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Mark. I wanted to point out, I don't know if this has to do with the question, but I've been told, I think, what's his name?
Do you mean Boris
David,
Johnson?
David Icke and some of his videos. He's talked about the reality, how these tests don't actually test for the virus under the...
No, that's right. That's right, Charles. There's no test for it.
Their exosomes, the exosomes are really they represent the antigens or
antibodies. That's right. Those are the dead cells that are left over. Yeah, those are the dead cells that are left over after the illness. Because I'm studying this myself, Charles. It's very, very interesting. There's the new German medicine, which was kind of put forward by this doctor in Germany, Dirk Hamer, and I'm reading all about it at the moment, and it's very, very convincing. In other words, the idea that there are viruses is just a theory. This is absolutely amazing, and I want to get into it in the weeks to come. I'm studying it quite intently and looking at a lot of the case studies around it. But yes, you're absolutely right. These exosomes are just dead cells. They're the results of an infection. Now, the other thing is, of course, you're right as well, because there is no test for COVID-19 because they haven't isolated it yet. So this whole thing is a charade and a pantomime. And what is disturbing about it is the creepy kind of nature of the way they're doing it. In other words, it's voluntary at the moment. But for the common good, when we have the second wave, all those people who have been spreading it about are going to be named and shamed, and they're going to be the ones who we're going to be after. That's what's implied by this useful idiot, Matt Hancock. Is there anything else you want to add to that, Charles?
We don't even know if it's really there, but these tests, I'd like to have somebody explain what an LCR is. That's one of the tests. What they do biochemically, you know, nobody's explained how they supposedly...
I think it's the PCR test. Is it the PCR test?
This COVID.
Yeah. I think it's the PCR test. And yeah, they're not really of any use, because the people who produce the PCR test said you can't test for this with a PCR test. That came out a few weeks ago, didn't it? That information.
Another thing, do you know that one out of five people in England believe that the coronavirus is a hoax? I read an article that was on the truthseeker.co.uk. One out of five in England,
yes,
you're very
That's
intelligent.
Right.
The English people, people from the British Isles, are more intelligent than we are.
Well, we're actually saying it's the other way around, Charles, because we're up against pot bangers and hand clappers. But it's the last day of pot banging and hand clapping.
I know. clap your hands for the National Health Service.
That's
I know.
It. We'll be back after the short break with Sandy Adams. Thanks for your call, Charles.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. I'm Mark Windows, and we're now going to speak to Sandy Adams in the UK. You're there, Sandy?
I am indeed, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm actually in a beautiful part of the country, a lovely little village, where we actually did a talk. And yes, it's all very quaint, and you would not believe that we were undergoing one of the most rapid changes in history by looking around you. The birds are singing, we've got country gardens. It's just like England used to be. How's things with you?
Fine. I mean, it is weird. I mean, it's as though it's this calm before the storm, you know, and I really feel that. I feel that we're heading into something quite extraordinarily turbulent, but it's obviously at the moment everybody's, you know, furloughed, everybody's kind of, you know, just really enjoying the sunshine and everything. But you know, this track and tracing, as you were saying, it is absolutely ludicrous, because if you think about it, a certain proportion, especially when we get into the winter months, of people will have family members with a bit of a cold, with a bit of flu. And that means that then at any given point, a third of the population, or even more, could be actually self-isolating again with no symptoms. And it's the whole thing is ludicrous. And I was looking at this from a business point of view, because I've been looking at how small businesses are coping at the moment. And there's this you know, they're saying, oh, you're going to open up to shops will be opening up sort of in June. And you know, at the moment, the hospitality industry is on its knees, because that's what I'm in, the hospitality industry. And actually, there's no...
bankruptcies all over the place with the hospitality industry. Big companies going down.
Quite right. And you see, the thing is that this track and trace thing, apart from the fact that when they do open up, they'll be opening up with more staff, because they'll all have to be policed, less customers, because they have to be socially distanced. And not only that, that if any of their staff have actually got family members and they have to self-isolate, they will have to be having to pay statutory sick pay to anybody who could be perfectly healthy, but staying at home because a family member or a close relative or somebody, or even a member of staff. I mean, what do you do? Do you isolate all your staff when somebody gets something? It's mad. I mean, it's absolutely mad. It's not going to work. And I think there'll be more and more bankruptcies going on. And, you know, I've been looking at this week, really, with what is the government up to? I mean, they've kind of given all these loans, bounce back loans that appear in your bank account almost the next day, you know, up to £50,000. You know, they've given us, you know, grants to actually help, you know, furlough our staff and all that kind of stuff. And this week, I was looking at the stock market, and a friend of mine who does play with the stock market said, "Well, do you realise that the government are buying stocks now? They're doing this over the board. In every country, they're all the governments are all getting involved in stocks, and with that money, it was buried under Dominic Cummings breaking the lockdown last week, but actually, the government should." Bailed out Jaguar for £500 million in order for them to develop electric cars. And they also bailed out EasyJet. I think that was £600 million. And they're going to continue to bail out all the big corporations. And the small businesses will be left to go bankrupt. And this is what we're looking at right now. And, you know, I would advise any small business to just, you know, I don't know, just get out while you can, because you'll end up just being bankrupt by all of this. It's just absolutely horrendous what's going on.
It's kind of it's a continuation of the stuff that we've been talking about, because this sort of corporate takeover of infrastructure is really what Agenda 21 at the heart of it, and Agenda 2030 is all about.
Yeah.
This is what happened in London. So we had these huge corporations like Lendlease and Bechtel coming in, basically running London boroughs. And this takeover of everything by these big corporates has been going on for quite a few years. And of course, this is really obvious when you start looking into what's happening now. This is just a continuation of that process. It's actually destroying all of the small businesses in one go. So this is a multipolar exercise. There's so many different levels to this, psychological, financial, and governmental.
It's all about the control and management of the agenda and of the people. And as you say, it's a psychological operation. It's Agenda 2030 fast tracked, so that they get exactly what they want, which is actually property rights have gone. You know, your businesses, your homes, and as we know with the Green New Deal, your homes, you'll be asset stripped, because, you know, all of that comes with at a cost of the carbon taxing and the bringing your home up to eco standards. That is a form of asset stripping, right? Every gas boiler ripped out, every wood burner ripped out, having to bring your house up to eco standards, up to £30,000 per home. All of this is written into the Green New Deal, an absolute zero document that we have here. And, you know, the Green New Deal is all part of this COVID operation. As the World Economic Forum website says, you know, we will use this opportunity to bring in a new economic order. And it is the Green New Deal. We're bringing in a new Bretton Woods agreement. It's a reset. It's all been planned for such a long time, and it's so obvious. And we're having to deal with the consequences. And it's interesting that our lovely caller said, you know, that one in five people in the UK know that this is all nonsense. In that case, why haven't we got more of people standing up against it, you know. It's really unbelievable. And it's going to have to get really bad before the Brits do. And I hope it doesn't end up, and we've got, I mean, I know in the States you've got Minnesota, you know, burning at the moment because of George Floyd, you know, that chap that was sadly killed, you know, during a riot. And, you know, is this what they want? Do they want civil war? Do they want people to just go out and riot? You have to ask this question. And it's a horrible thought that, you know, sort of people are now, you know, burning towns and stuff, and things are getting really bad, because that really would degenerate. It has to be more subtle than that if we can fight it. But I just don't think we can fight it at the moment until there is a mass awakening up of what's going on, because we do our best. We put the info out there. But, yeah, what can you do?
Well, it's interesting because several years ago, and I don't want to get too much into the story because we haven't got time, but I had an interaction with Crime Stoppers, and I had a great success in limiting the powers that they were using, or being the police were using, to basically demonize members of the public who they didn't like using this Crime Stoppers website. Now, the result of that was that it got trimmed down quite a lot, but it was also stated that they were involved with this company who were involved in this real-time kind of management of events and things that were happening. So in other words, I'll give you an example. If there is a meme that's happening and something's happening in an area, say people are meeting up for something, well, what this company were doing is finding out where this was happening, then diverting it and intercepting it and interrupting it so that it could be shut down, and then a distraction issue could be set up in another area. And this was all stated on the website. Now, when I got in touch with them about it, this Crime Stoppers organization, it all got wiped off. But this company were doing a very similar thing to what was being put out with event. They were into kind of management and event planning of basically things that could be deemed to be civil unrest. And I think all of this is all in place. All these private companies, and what they're talking about with Event 201 was all about that. It was about public-private partnerships of this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So these multi-layered kind of rollout exercises in real time that we've been looking at are actually really what this is about. The whole thing is an exercise. We're in the middle of an exercise at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's the testing compliance in all sorts of areas. And it's quite clever because it's multi-layered, it's very deep. But I think that's what this is about. It's about them being able to use all of this algorithmic data that they are actually getting hold of to predict and control anything that is going to happen. That's my view of it.
What really bothers me is all of this relies on our compliance. And how much of it can be called out? And I think that's what we have to do. It's calling it out. Don't go out on the streets and protest. That'll get us nowhere. But it's calling it out, because actually this is all guidance. This is all advice. It's all this. It's not actually in law, is it? I mean, it doesn't appear to be anyway, as far as I can see. It's advice. Do this,
that's
do
right.
that.
But the problem you have is, of course, in the COVID-19 laws, 122, the COVID-19 Act, which dovetails into this 1984 Act. Well, the COVID-19 Act is all about you having no rights. It strips you of all your rights. It means the police can basically do whatever they want on suspicion of what they want to have suspicion of. So, in other words, you can be forcibly taken away somewhere, and then of course you can be in their custody or in custody a designated place, and people can just be disappeared. And of course, if you die, you can have COVID-19 put on your death certificate. So it's all very convenient for that. And that is the thing, that the legislation has never been used properly. The act that they should have used with the was the 2004 Civil Contingencies Act, which is reviewed every 30 days when you have something like a pandemic or an emergency. The fact that they've put this in for 2 years means exactly that, it means that this is here to stay. This is not an exercise in the respect that it's about a pandemic. This is an ongoing action plan, which is already put into place. And all this they're doing at the moment is tweaking it as it goes along.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I've kind of, you know, this week I've come to this thing that, you know, there's nothing we can do right now apart from just keep calling it out and talking about it and hoping that people realize what's going on so that they can actually act accordingly. They can do whatever they feel right to do at this stage. And it is a difficult thing because we've all been talking. I mean, I've been talking about Agenda 2030 for 10 years, 11 years now. And so have you. You've been on it for a long time. And I just, it's almost as though you're looking at this railroad train crashing around, and there's nothing you can do. It's just happening, you know. And it's like, you know, what can we do? We can just almost expect the worst, because I think it will. I mean, come November, October, November, things will get more sort of shut down. And you know, we know that. That's what they've been preparing us for.
Well, that's what they're actually saying. Yeah. Yes, they're saying that this second wave will come back in the winter. Now, the other thing is, of course, this is meant to be something that happens in a flu season. So they're going to have to extend the flu season a little bit longer than usual, aren't they, really?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they're doing now, because it's been a prevarication. It's, oh, we're waiting for a vaccine, then there's no vaccine. Oh, now we're putting track and trace, you know. And it's just one thing after another, stalling the actual opening up of the lockdown, stopping the lockdown. And it will be, as soon as we actually open up, we'll be shut down again. And that's what I know will happen. No amount of you know, nothing will save the small businesses. Everybody is going to have real problems and struggle, you know, because it will affect, you know, everyone. And then if they bring this Green New Deal in, you've got all sorts of regulations to adhere to then, because every human action will have to have a price. And the World Economic Forum have said that, you know, this, all this money that's been given to everyone, it will all come back to roost. That will have to be paid back at some point, and it will be carbon taxes. It will be huge taxes levied at the individual, whether it's in your own home or your business or both, whatever. You will pay for every human action. There'll be a carbon price. And this is what we're living with.
Well, this is what they want to do, yeah. So it's time to you have to sort of stand in your own kind of strength, really, and see how you can face this stuff. Because a lot of the people who are implementing it are these useful idiots, and there are quite a lot of them. But what was interesting was that when they were looking for these contact tracers in Kent, they were getting really abused on social media. That's the council. They were looking for people to this contact trace, and they were actually getting abused. Now, Matt Hancock has said that they've already recruited 25,000 of them. Well, there probably are 25,000 people who need the money. And you go on an 8-hour course, as I was saying at the beginning. It's run by John Hopkins and also Public Health England, but Public Health England didn't seem to know anything about the John Hopkins course. It's incredible, isn't it, really? You know, the kind of incompetence of all this is pretty staggering. But what's behind it, of course, is the iron fist. It's not so much the incompetence that's important. It's their ability to deliver it that's important. Mm. And that's where the economic system comes in, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. And, you know, and you have got useful idiots all over the place. You've got people snitching. And I mean, I have to say, I was quite amused that Dominic Cummings was hoist by his own petard, basically, because, you know, it was a retired 70-year-old school teacher who was so nosy. He actually saw it was Dominic Cummings, took his number plate, reported him to the police, and even went on the BBC saying, oh, I think I've rather opened up a can of worms here. I was only doing what I thought the government would want me to do. And this is something, this is the mentality of a Stasi in East Germany before the wall came down, where people are actually spying on people and phoning the police. And it's just unbelievable, you know, what's going on.
Well, it is, but I think that's a big distraction issue for something else. And also, his connections with this place that he went to. We covered it on Tuesday, actually, with Tim That's Sanders. We were talking about it, and it is all very intriguing. But I think the main point about this is all the useful idiots, the high-level ones who are in government, have all got their noses firmly in the trough. And that's patently obvious, but in a way that is so blatantly obvious, they've either got connections with Big Pharma, the vaccine industry, Bill and Melinda Gates, all the rest of it. So it's kind of, when you think about it, there's no independence within the government, because we don't have a government, we have governance. These people, these idiots like Boris Johnson and this Matt Hancock and Grant Shapps, these people are clueless, repeating idiots, and they've been shown to be that. It's almost like people who are really running it are showing their hand now, because they're showing these people up for what they are. Just repeat us. We're going to be back after the break. I think we've got another caller as well, so do stay with us. I'm Mark Windows. This is Windows on the World. Go to windowsontheworld.net. Check out our other shows. We do a show every Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Central Time. See you after the break.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. I'm with Sandy Adams. We're just going to finish the show off now. Did we have another caller before the break? Yeah, something flashed up, but I'm not sure who it was.
It was somebody from Britain.
Daniel. Sorry, Daniel. Are you still there, Daniel?
Oh, hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear any click or anything. Great show, Mark and Sandy. I'll take my comment off the air because I know you want to finish up the show, but I think they chose coronavirus because it's, you know, it's an RNA. It's almost impossible to find a vaccine because there are no vaccines for RNA viruses, just like there's no vaccine for AIDS after 35 years. So the track and trace is here to stay, and that might have been the plan all along. But in the meantime, they're going to spend hundreds of billions of dollars trying to find a vaccine. So they're going to, you know, they're going to try and tax us for that in the future. And I'll leave you with that and see what you have to say off the air. Thanks again.
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks. That's a really good point, because when they announced how much they were going to give, I mean, we're going to be giving billions to this vaccine, which you can't vaccinate against this COVID-19. Well, they haven't even isolated it yet, have they? So, I mean, it's ridiculous, the whole thing. And once you look into it more and more, you realize, like we did earlier on, that the tests, the PCR tests and all the rest of it, it's all been an absolute farce. And really, it's kind of similar to a lot of the way things are rolled out in this new normal. Let's call it the new normal then. You know, what's been going on with these Agenda 21 policies and the changing of our cities, the hive housing, the closing off of all the roads, the cycle paths everywhere, even in the most inconvenient and stupid places. None of this agenda makes any sense, but it only makes sense when it's about limiting your rights and exerting control. That's all it's about. The rest of it, I don't think, is important. The rest is a clown show. Doesn't matter. I don't think they're interested in that. What do you think, Sandy?
No, I think you're right. I mean, this is just a means to an end, and this whole pandemic, whatever you want to call it, is just a means to get where they want, which is the end game of us living in the surveilled smart cities. Because if you think about it, if all the small businesses go, those are predominantly in rural areas and in small towns, and the big cities have got all the big corporations. They will survive, and so people will be forced, particularly if they restrict car use as well, with all the what's going on with not driving and restriction of movement. So everyone will be forced into these, or you know, if this is the plan, is to have everybody forced into the smart cities where all everything will be there. There won't be anything else left anywhere else. I see my town at the moment.
Yes,
I mean,
it's a very depressing
dead.
Thought
dead,
that
yeah.
We have our we have our block of flats, our eye scanners, our Starbucks, our mini Tesco, our gym, and nothing else. That's it. Well, that's what they want to actually achieve.
Sorry, the planning. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. The planning. Laws, particularly in the States at the moment, and I've got to look at it over here and research it, but at the moment they're not in certain areas in America, they are not building single family homes with gardens. They are just
well, that's been going on for quite some time. Yes, and no cars, and indeed yes, single person flats, loads of those in London. A lot of them have just been bought by shelf companies, so it's all an absolute illusion. We'll be back on Tuesday next week. WindowsOnTheWorld.net. Look at the archive. We've got some great stuff in there. Help us out on Patreon and PayPal if you can. Spend all my time looking into the stuff. It's fascinating. We are in interesting times. See you next week. Thanks a lot to Sandy, and thanks to callers today.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.